It's on page 223. It will also be this Shabbos, Shabbat, Hanukkah. So we know that there is always a connection between what we read on Shabbat and the week that is coming after. So I want to connect, to discuss the parasha, connect it also to Hanukkah. So let's look at the beginning of the parasha. We read it first in English, but we'll go to the Hebrew for one thing. So verse number one, Pasuk one, on page 223 at the top. It happened at the end of 2 years to the day. Paro was dreaming that behold, he was standing over the river, when behold, out of the river, there emerged seven cows of beautiful appearance and robust flesh, and they were grazing in the marshland. Then, behold, seven other cows emerged after them out of the river, of ugly appearance and gaunt flesh, and they stood next to the cows on the bank of the river. The cows of the ugly appearance and gaunt flesh ate the seven cows of beautiful appearance and robust, and Paro awoke. Okay, so we hear here about a dream of Pharaoh. What I want to pay attention to is the first two words of the parasha. In Hebrew it's two, in English it's more. It happened at the end of 2 years to the day. In Hebrew it's Vayehi Miketz, and that's why the parasha is called Miketz. Vayehi Miketz. Miketz means the end. The end of what? Of 2 years. What are those 2 years? Before these 2 years, Yosef was for 10 years in prison. Obviously, innocently. The wife of Potiphar accused him of what she should be accused of. And being that she was in power and didn't want Yosef to reveal what really took place, she sent him to prison, and basically it was supposed to be being in prison with no end from her perspective, forever, for a lifetime. But Yosef was there for 10 days, and we ended the last week's portion with the famous two dreams that the two ministers of Pharaoh had. Yosef interpreted these dreams properly, and now Pharaoh is having a dream. After Yosef interpreted the dreams properly and whatever he said, they indicate really happened, he asked Sarah Mashkim, the one that he told him Paro will release him in 3 days, to mention him in front of Paro. And Sarah Mashkim forgot. That's how last week ended. And then this portion starts 2 years later. Paro has dreams. So basically, Yosef had to be in prison for 10 years only. Hashem added 2 years to the time that he was in prison because he asked Sarah Mashkim to remember him. For any other person, it would have been okay to ask Sarah Mashkim to remember him and mention him in front of Paro, because a person has to put effort into improving his situation. But Yosef was on such a high level of trust in Hashem that he had to rely totally on Hashem and not to do anything. And in order to correct it, Hashem gave him 2 years, and Yosef corrected it in this time. How? By totally not thinking about Sarah Mashkim and the fact that he asked him to remember him. So he went from relying to a very little extent on the effort that he put, he didn't even rely on it, but he felt he has to do effort, to forgetting the effort, not anticipating any results, and in this way, it was corrected. And then, as a result of the dreams of Pharaoh, as we know, Sarah Mashkim mentioned to Pharaoh, After all the wise people try to interpret the dream and Paro was not satisfied with it, that there is somebody in prison who might help him. And that's how Yosef came out from the prison. But it's written, Vayehi miketz, it was at the end of 2 years. And the word miketz means at the end of. That's how Rashi explains to us that miketz means always the end of. So we explained it on a pshat level. It's a famous explanation. I want to take a look into the midrash on these two words. Okay, the midrash says the following: Ketz sam lachoshech. Hashem put an ending to darkness. This is a quote from a pasuk in Iyov. I'll continue to read the midrash till the end, then we'll go back to the pasuk. So, the midrash says, "Ketz sam lachoshech." Hashem made an end, put an end to the darkness. And the midrash continues. Hashem decided, for how long will this world be in darkness? This is the meaning of Hashem put an ending to the darkness. Hashem assigned a time where the darkness will end and light will come. What does it refer to? What does it mean Hashem put an ending to the darkness of this world? So the Midrash continues that as long as the Yetzer Hara, the bad inclination, is in this world, it's a time of darkness. It's a time of death in this world. When the bad inclination will be uprooted, will cease from existing, this will be the time that the darkness will be over, when it will be the end of darkness. That's first part in the Midrash. And the Midrash continues and connects this idea to the story of Yosef. The Midrash says, another explanation, Ketz sam lachoshech, Hashem assigned an ending point to the darkness. What does it mean? So the Midrash says, Hashem assigned for how long Yosef will be in prison. Okay? And obviously, when the end of this time came, there was a change. What was the change? Paro had a dream. As it's written in the Torah, Vayehi miketz shnatayim yamim. There was an assigned time. After the 10 years that he was there, and even before the 10 years, for how long Yosef will be in prison. So when this period of time that was divided into two, the first 10 years and then plus two, ended, Paro had a dream that caused Yosef to come out of prison. What does this midrash tell me? Of course, if Yosef was in prison for 12 years and then he left, obviously, there was a time that he was supposed to be there, and when it ended, he came out. There is a very deep idea here. To learn the idea, to understand the idea, we have to go to the verse, Ketz sam lachoshech. Hashem put an ending to darkness. I want to explain a general thing first. Usually, how does the Midrash interpret the Torah? The Midrash quotes a verse that the Midrash wants to interpret. Like here, Vayim miketz shnatayim yamim, it was at the end of 2 years. And the Midrash wants to give us an insight. How does the Midrash give us an insight? By quoting a pasuk from another place in the Torah that explains this one. So the Midrash connects between two pasukim. The first is the pasuk that the Midrash wants to interpret, and the idea that the Midrash wants to give as an interpretation for this pasuk is really expressed in another pasuk. So the Midrash first quotes the pasuk and then elaborates on it. So we have a pasuk, Vayim miketz shnatayim yamim. It was at the ending point of 2 years that Yosef was in prison. The Midrash wants to explain something about this pasuk, an idea about this pasuk, an inner meaning. So the Midrash took a pasuk from Iyov, from Job, that has in it the idea that he wants to connect and will interpret our pasuk. So the Midrash quotes only a part of the pasuk. If we want to understand the idea, we have to read the whole pasuk. So I'm going now to Job. To the Pasuk, it's chapter 28, verse number 1 in Job, in Iyov. And the Torah says there the following: For there is a source for silver, and a place where gold is refined. There is a place for silver, a source where it's coming from. Obviously, it's coming from earth, from deep in the earth. That's where we take out silver. There is also a place for gold, where it's taken out of and then refined from other things that are mixed with it, and then we get the silver in its purity. The pasuk continues. Iron is taken from the soil. Iron is another metal that is taken from the soil, and copper is melted from stone. So if we look at this two psukim, it speaks about four metals, and it tells us where it's coming from: gold, silver, iron, and copper. There is a difference in the usage of gold and silver vis-a-vis iron and copper. Gold and silver we use for jewelry, for beautiful dishes, right? It's more a thing of beauty. Iron and copper are the things that we create tools from, right? And also pots, dishes, right? And the difference is that it's not for beauty, iron and copper, but for usage. It helps us to do things that we want to do in this world. So, Hashem created a world with rocks. He created a world with earth, right? The bottom is earth and we are all on it. But deep down in earth, there are things that we can use. Gold, silver, iron, and copper. These are the four examples that the Torah, that Iyov gives. And then comes the pasuk that is quoted in the Midrash. He sets a limit to the darkness and he investigates the end of everything. It's the connection, right? What's the connection between the two psukim? There are metals that are inside the ground, and there is an end to darkness. So let's try to elaborate first on the first part of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk tells us that there are treasures in this world that we can use to beautify things or to act in this world. But when we look on the superficial level, we see nothing. Not only do we see nothing, sometimes all we see are rocks. And it seems to us that there is no reason for the creation of rocks. Rocks don't grow anything. They are barren. They are many times obstacles on the way. So on a superficial level, when we look at them, we'll ask, why did God create them? But the very fact that God created them indicates that it's a must that they have a purpose. And people understand it either because of the belief in God or because they explore the world in general for whatever they can find. And somehow they get to the treasures. We see darkness. And darkness, I don't speak only about physical darkness. Times that we would define as dark times, like the time of Yosef in prison. It looks to us, why are those things here in this world? Hashem, who can create light, who did create light, who is the source of light, Why did he create darkness as well? But it's a matter of fact. Hashem created darkness. So it should cause us to think, what is the purpose? Because nothing that Hashem created is for no purpose. Is for no purpose. And this pasuk gives us a hint that leads us toward the purpose of darkness. I just want to give the context of this pasuk in Iyov. We know the story of Iyov. Iyov was a person that was very righteous, that Hashem himself testified to his righteousness, indicated his righteousness to the Satan, told him, see how a human being could be so righteous. And we know that the epitome of suffering in this world is the suffering of Iyov. And obviously, it raises the question, what? The famous question of why are righteous people suffering and good people having many times a very hard time? In other words, why did Hashem create darkness? That's the question. And Iyov answers. Iyov says, serve Hashem and be loyal to him, even if you are in darkness. Why? Because Hashem assigned an ending point to darkness. That's what Iyov says. Now we have to understand, what does it mean? Hashem assigned an ending point to darkness. To understand it, we have to go to the very beginning story of creation. I want you to open, I think it's page number three, if I'm not mistaken, the very, very beginning of the five books. Yes, it's page three. The first pasuk is, in the beginning of God's creation, the heavens of the earth, when the earth was astonishing empty, with darkness upon the surface of the deep, and the divine presence hovers upon the surface of the waters, God said, let there be light. We are in stage number one of creation. Stage number one of creation was the stage where Hashem built the building stones. The whole world is built from the same building stones. But if you would have said 200 years ago or a little more, people would have told you, makes no sense. But today we know that there are basic particles smaller than the atoms, because we know today that that's not the smallest part, right? There are many smallers, and we don't even know that we know the smallest, right? We know only what we have discovered till today, right? But everything that exists is really made out of atoms, right? The building blocks are equal. So it's stage number one. All that there is building blocks. How did the world look at that time? So we are told, when the earth was astonishingly empty, because only the building blocks are there, and we know that atoms are not even seen, so it looks totally empty, right? With darkness upon the surface of the deep. So here is our introduction to darkness. That's the first times that the word choshech, darkness, appears in the Torah. And always, when a word appears for the first time in the Torah, it defines what it is. If you want to know what's the essence of darkness, that's where we have to go. What's the source of the darkness right after creation? On a physical level, we would say light was not created yet. The absence of light is darkness. On the physical level, that's true. The world is still dark. Only after God said, let there be light. In the next pasuk, it's mentioned, right? But on the spiritual level, I want to understand it today. On the spiritual level, it's the exact opposite. We said light was created, was made. Let there be light. There was light. The absence of light is darkness. On a spiritual level, we say, darkness was created. The absence of darkness is light. What does it mean? Before Hashem created the world, all there was light. There was nothing to hide this light. So there was no darkness. Spiritually, it was all lit up. The creation of this world, the creation of physicality, is the creation of something that can look as an independent being, independent creation. If we look at the world, we see many things. We see the sun, we see the moon, we see trees, we see animals, human beings. Each one of the details in this world looks like a reality on its own, an independent reality. In truth, the whole world is like a tree that is upside down. The roots are at the top, and the branches, the leaves, the flowers, the fruits are on the bottom. Now, we don't see the roots because they are all the way up. All we see are branches, leaves, fruits. Each fruit seems to us like an independent existence. Creation. Each leaf is a creation on its own. But in fact, they are all one tree. And if you cut the part that you see from the upper part that is so high that we cannot see it, it's the end of the existence of all the parts. That's exactly what happens in this world on a spiritual level. There is nothing that has an independent existence, nothing, including human beings. Nothing is independent. All of us and all of creation are moment by moment given life by Hashem. As we say it every morning, Ve'atah mechayeh et kulam. You give existence, life to everything. Take away the godliness that gives existence to any being from the inanimate till the human being, it will cease to exist at once. But on the superficial level, we don't see it. We don't see the godliness with the physical eyes. Meaning, in other words, we don't see well. We see only part. We are in darkness. And that's the essence of creation, a place where one does not see the whole picture to start with. We can definitely remain all our life, and we hope it won't happen, with seeing just the physical part of the world. This is what the Torah says in the beginning of God's creation, right? Of heaven and earth, meaning as soon as there is something that God created and we do not see the godliness in it, there could be darkness. Could be darkness. Now, is the darkness supposed to stay? Why did Hashem create darkness? We want light. Why did Hashem create darkness? Obviously, it's the same question as a person can ask when he sees a rock. Nothing grows out of it. It's an obstacle on the way. Why did Hashem create it? But the very fact that Hashem created it indicates that it has a purpose. And it's our job to look for the purpose. As people who were given Torah, we know the purpose of darkness. The first one before giving the Torah who looked for it was Avraham. What's the purpose of this darkness? People worship different powers. They see them as independent beings. If they would have seen that they are only puppets that are activated by Hashem, they would not serve them. right? But people serve idols, right? Because they see them as independent beings. And he looked for the source behind all of it, for the light in the darkness, and revealed it. He saw that Hashem gives existence to everything, and without him, there is no existence. Now, our pasuk, interpreted by the Midrash, based on the pasuk in Yov, tells us, yes, there is a purpose to darkness. And when the purpose is fulfilled, there is no reason anymore for darkness, and then it will disappear. Everything that we have for a particular purpose that serves its purpose is not useful anymore. So we'll throw it away, right? So what's the purpose of darkness? Why did Hashem create a veil that enables darkness to be the reality, meaning that doesn't reveal to us the whole picture in its fullness? It's in order to enable us to have free choice. We do not see Hashem openly. When I see a human being, I don't see the soul, and the same with all of creation. When I see a tree, I see it's coming from the ground. I don't see the godliness from above that gives it existence, right? So I can refer to it as an independent being and not see Hashem. And obviously, there are endless levels to the darkness. If a person goes to work and thinks that his hard work gives him money, he's in the dark, because it's not true. There is no connection between his work and what he gets. Hashem decides how much he will get. And he has to go to work and still believe that it's not his work that creates the results. Right? So there are endless levels to the darkness. What does Hashem want of us? Not to remain in the dark, but what's written in the next pasuk? God said, let there be light. He wants us to reveal the light. Now, if the darkness is only a means in order to enable us to reveal light, it's not the purpose. The purpose is light. It's just via the darkness we get the opportunity to reveal the light on our own rather than to be shown the light like angels do. It must be that darkness has an end. Everything that is a means is not forever. It's there till we fulfill the purpose. And that's the meaning of Ketz Sam Lachoshech. There is an ending to darkness. And I'm speaking on the physical level and spiritual level. Even on the physical level, commentaries to explain this pasuk in Yov say there is an ending to the darkness. The utmost in our area, it's 12 hours, and then there is day again. The whole world is moving from light to darkness, light to darkness, light to darkness. Darkness has an ending, right? Even on the physical level. On the spiritual level, what does the Midrash say? As long as the bad inclination is here, meaning as long as we can choose between good and evil, that's the meaning of the bad inclination is here, right? As long as we can choose between good and evil, we need the ability not to see fully, to start from a point where we don't see fully. And it's our job to overcome the bad inclination. And the more we overcome the bad inclination, the more light we discover, the more we see. We can change our outlook at this world and see it as an expression of Hashem's doing. We can see spiritually that Hashem gives life to everything. And live by it, feel it, not only know it intellectually, but feel it and live it based on it. If we will live based on it, we will not be able to commit a sin. Because if I see Hashem giving me life now, will I do with this life the opposite of what he is asking me to do? Obviously not. Right. But Hashem wants us to be in darkness for a time being and discover the light slowly, slowly in our lifetime. But Hashem put an end to the darkness. What means that this time where we have free choice, will not last forever. We know that when Hashem created the world, He gave it a framework of time of existence, in its shape and form as it is now, with the bad inclination, with free choice. We know that Mashiach has to come no later than the end of the sixth millennia, because darkness must come to an end, because it's only a means. It leads to something else, it leads to light. So after darkness must come a time, either after 120 of a life of a human being, or better, if it would have been so, that we create so much light in our lifetime as first man could have if he would have not committed a sin, that he would bring very soon after his creation the eternal time of light, where there is no bad inclination, and it's only joy of the presence of Hashem and the godliness of the godly light. So darkness must have an end. And there are many explanations to it, in creation and in history. And I want to give some examples. Our year, our time, is divided into weeks. Every week is 6 days of work and Shabbos. 6 days of work and Shabbos. In terms of seeing godliness, feeling godliness, Shabbos is the light, the week is the darkness. When we act and work and do things, it's very easy to feel that we run the show. That's darkness, that's not the truth. That's a superficial sight of reality. Shabbos comes. We don't create anything. Then we see that Hashem is the creator. We don't work and we have time to think, to study, to pray, and to get connected to Hashem. So it's a time of light. So our time is divided between periods of darkness that end and bring light. But the next week will come and it will be dark again, but not on the same level that the previous week was, if we do what we are supposed to do. Because if we concentrate on godliness on Shabbos, we start the next week from a better place. So it's periods of darkness that enable us to elevate on Shabbos, and then we take what we gained on Shabbos and have more light the next week, work to discover more of it, come to the next Shabbat on a higher level, and hopefully this is how it will be all through our life. So it's dark, lightness, dark, lightness, dark, lightness, till the ultimate light, when after 120, hopefully we'll come to Gan Eden, or hopefully before, when Mashiach will come. Right? So every period of darkness must have an end. And this is true also for the story of Yosef. Yosef was put into prison. Before he was put into prison, there was a time assigned in Shamayim for his release. It's a must, because darkness is not forever. Now, it might be for another person that a time in prison will be for a lifetime, and the light will be only in the world to come. Could be. It could be that person will be assigned to prison for a lifetime, but he himself will constantly see more and more and more and more light and will create it for himself, in his difficult situation, by growing spiritually, and eventually we'll see the ultimate light after 120. Obviously, the best way that it will happen for all of us is that we create light, and then we come to Mashiach, which is the ultimate light. So when the Torah tells us there were 10 years to the prison of Yosef, and then there were 2 more years, and it's divided into 2 parts. The Torah tells us, look at the 10 years as a unit on its own. It's darkness for one purpose. And if there are additional 2 years, there is another purpose. Otherwise, we would have been told that he was in prison for 12 years. Being that it was 10 plus 2, it means each period, the 10 and the 2, has its own purpose. Okay? Now, What does it mean? On the superficial level, let's look at the story of Yosef. Yosef was sold by his brothers. They were mistaken in the way they judged him. He was innocent. Basically, what our sages tell us is that it happened because Hashem wanted it to happen. And we'll soon, we discussed it in the past, and soon we'll add something to it. Right? Hashem wanted it to happen exactly in this way. He made the brothers hate him, right? And that's how he ended up in Egypt. He ended up in Egypt, 17 years old, detached from a life that was total holiness, studying Torah all the time with Yaakov, among brothers who are the greatest, who are the foundation of the Jewish people, from the land of Israel, and is in diverse of places as a slave. What could be worse? And if this test is not enough, Yosef is tested by the wife of Potiphar. And without going into details, because it's not our topic today, the test that he was put in front by the wife of Potiphar is considered the hardest test that one can really face, because she did everything and anything possible to entice him. And he was 17 years old under such conditions, and he was her slave. His fate is totally in her hands. She can do with him whatever she wants, and she did. She sent him into prison for life. He overcomes the test. That's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. What would we anticipate will happen next? Or what would we anticipate that Yosef will feel? Now, he'll wait for the reward from Hashem. Definitely deserves it. What happens right after? He's thrown into prison for life. So it's not only Egypt, it's the criminals of Egypt. You can imagine what the reality was for him. And the test is, will Yosef feel that Hashem mistreated him? Will Yosef ask why? Will he change his behavior in any way? And we are told no. In this dark reality, Yosef understood the darkness has a purpose. And he did the best in order to create light in this darkness. Now, why was he really thrown into jail for 10 years? He didn't know at the time. But our sages tell us why. And obviously, it's not the only reason, as we'll see. I will even say more than one, and that's only what we know on the very pshat level. Even though Yosef was innocent, but pain was caused to his brothers by the fact that he told his father things about their behavior. He meant well. They really did not commit the sins that he felt they did. But still, it caused his brothers a lot of pain. And to atone for the pain that he caused his brothers, he was given 10 years corresponding to the 10 brothers. Now, he got it only because he was on a very high level. If Yosef would have been asked before, what he wasn't, because otherwise it would have not been a test, right? But if Yosef would have been asked before, do you want to purify even this, not even sin, but the pain that was caused to your brother by sitting in the prison for 10 years, he will say, of course. Because to Yosef, his spiritual purity was the goal of life. And if in order to achieve it, he has to go through darkness, no problem. Every darkness is worthwhile for Yosef in order to get more purification. So that's why he got these 10 years. From Yosef's perspective, then the fact that on his high level, he asked the Sar HaMashkim, mention my name to Paro. What was his calculation? Joseph understood that he went down to Egypt in order to enable the dreams that he had to come through. What were his dreams? That his brothers and his parents will bow down to him. So he understood Hashem is maneuvering reality. He knew that it was prophecy. So he didn't understand exactly how and what it will happen, but he knew it must lead towards it. It must lead towards a reality where the dreams will come through. Okay? So he thought, being that the two ministers of Pharaoh come to him with dreams, maybe this is the dreams that Hashem sends to him as an indication via those. You will be able to bring your family down to Egypt. So he asked Tzar HaMashkim to mention him by power. If he would have done it, it would have been perfect. But Yosef himself realized that on his level of trust in Hashem, he should have not done it. These dreams might be the cause, but he should have leave it to Hashem to make the events happen without him interfering. And he decided to forget it. And that's why the minister, Tzar HaMashkim, forgot it. Because Yosef didn't want him to remember it and didn't want him to mention it to Pharaoh. That's why he forgot it. Hashem helped Yosef. He prayed to Hashem that he'll forget. And the minister forgot. Meaning, Yosef chose to correct what he did wrong by staying in prison for 2 more years, enabling him to totally forget that he asked Tzar HaMashkim not to depend on it, even it might cause to stay in prison forever. This was the level of Yosef. So we see that it's not punishment. The fact that Yosef was in prison. It was an opportunity to grow further, to create light out of darkness, as we saw in the story of creation. Hashem created darkness and he said, let there be light. And it's our job to create the light. Now, as I said, many times in our life, we face difficulties, times of darkness individually. And as a nation, sometimes we know why. Sometimes we are even told for how long it will last. Sometimes we don't know why, and we don't know for how long it will last. And this is what makes it much harder. Let's take examples. The Jewish people went to exile in Babel after the destruction of the first temple. They knew why. There were Jewish people, not many but some, who violated Avodah Zarah, Gilui Ariot, and Shfichut Damim, who worshiped titles, who were involved in murder, fine points of murder, like embarrassing somebody, not necessarily killing, right? And immorality. When they went to exile, they had a prophecy for how long it will take. Yirmiyahu, who was the prophet at the time, told them it will be for 70 years, in the name of Hashem. So they were given a period of time and were told, in this period of time, you have to correct what went wrong. And they did. And the proof is that the second Beit HaMikdash was built after. So there was a ketz lachoshech, an ending to the darkness, and they knew about it in advance. Now, each and every one of us is assigned a certain amount of time to be in this world before we pass away or before Mashiach comes. We don't know when we are born or at any point in our life for how long we'll be here. But we do know that there is a specific time that we should be here that was assigned before we were even born. And we know that we will be in darkness, meaning we have a bad inclination to make us not see the full picture. And it's a test, and it's our job to create light. But we are sure that the time will come. And if the resurrection of the dead doesn't take place in our lifetime, we'll die. Nobody from 3 generations ago, 5 generations ago is here. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. A time for investment and a time for reward, a time for darkness and a time for light. The difficulty in our exile is that we don't know for how long it will last, right? But Hashem knows, obviously, when it will end and has reasons why it will end only when it will end. I want to look now at the story of Yosef from the perspective of Yaakov. Yaakov, we discussed it last week, when he came to Israel after, to the land of Israel, after being by Laban and after meeting Esav and overcoming his angel, he achieved perfection. But he is put into 22 years of darkness. The story of Yosef takes place, and it's a very dark situation. Also, because the presence of the divine is not felt by him the way it was before. He doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh anymore. Hashem doesn't reveal himself to him in this period of time. If he would have been there, we would have asked, most probably, why? Yaakov just passed so many tests. Lavan, Esav, the death of Rachel, Dinah, finally is back after passing all the tests in the best way possible. And what happens? The story of Yosef. Our sages discover to us some of the reasons why. If not that they would have told us, we wouldn't know. Yaakov, at the time that he went through, he didn't know either. And this is what makes the test so difficult. He thought it will be forever. He thought he lost his share in this world and in the world to come, as we explained last time. But why? Why did he get 22 years of such darkness? So our sages tell us, because when he was by Laban for 20 years, and then all the way back till he reached the household of Yitzchak, for 22 years he did not fulfill the obligation, the mitzvah, of honoring parents. It was not a sin. He was sent from the land of Israel by his parents. They told him to leave the land of Israel because it's dangerous, because of Esav, and to go to Haran, what he did. But for Yaakov, 22 years where his father is alive, and he cannot honor him, is a lost that he would desire very, very, very much to pure. It's a blemish in his eyes. On his level, it is. Not a sin in any way. But there is a lack of light that could have been achieved by honoring his parents in those 22 years. So Hashem gives him 22 years of darkness. And via working through the darkness, again, like Yosef, not asking why, not feeling I'm entitled, I did so much for you, Hashem. Why don't you come through for me? You understand, he doesn't do anything for Hashem's sake, he does it for his sake. He has no complaints, he accepts it fully. Nothing changes in his devotion and dedication to the service of Hashem. And by the pain that he goes through, he gains the light that he could have achieved by honoring his parents for 22 years where he was away from them. Unbelievable. Now, if I would have been asked, do I want to suffer for 40 years that I was in America and didn't honor my parents? I would say, I'm not asking for tests. I feel I have enough work with what Hashem put already on my plate, and I hope I'll be able to do what I have to do. But that's not Yaakov and that's not Yosef. These are giants. And for them, any opportunity for light is so precious that any amount of darkness is worthwhile to put in order to get them. More than this, we are told. We are told that Yaakov Ra'ah, I'm quoting in Hebrew and I'll soon translate. Yaakov saw Ra'ah ki yesh shever b'Mitzrayim, that there is food in Egypt. The word shever is like mashbir, the one who provides food. Food. It's a word in Hebrew for food, but it's a very uncommon word for food. And the Torah usually uses the common word rather than the one that is more rarely used. Why does the Torah use the word shever and not ochel, food? Because the Torah wants to give us an association with another meaning of the same root. Lishbor is to break, to cut off. Our sages tell us that being that Yaakov was the father of the Jewish nation, that everything he did created a DNA for us, affected who we are and who we will be till the end of times. By his suffering, he reduced the time that we had to be in Egypt from 400 to 210. And that's the meaning of shever. He broke the exile into two pieces. 210 years in Egypt, no more. And that's another meaning of Ketz Sam Lachoshech. Not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu defines where will be the end of darkness, we defined it. Each time that we do something positive, we reduce the power of darkness and hasten the coming of light. I want to connect this idea to the idea of Hanukkah. We said before that right in the beginning of the Chumash, we have the word darkness. I want to read again verse number two in the Torah, in Parashat Bereshit, the beginning of the Chumash. Okay? So, in the beginning, when God created heaven and earth, what was the situation? When the world was astonishingly empty, tohu, it's in Hebrew, with darkness, tohu vavohu, I'm sorry, astonishingly empty, two words, tohu vavohu, with darkness, choshech, upon the surface of the deep, al pnei tehom. There are four expressions here that show emptiness, darkness, being deep into something negative. And our sages say that here, four exiles of the Jewish people are hinted. Tohu corresponds to Babel, the Babylonian exile. Vavohu, bohu, corresponds to Paras and Madai, to Persia, the story of Haman, right? Vechoshech corresponds to the Greeks, darkness corresponds to the Greeks, and Tehom, deep, deep, deep down, corresponds to our exile, to Edom, because it's long, 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 deeper, 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 deeper. So we want to obviously discuss now the Choshech, the darkness of the Greeks. The Greeks were very smart people, sophisticated. It was a very sophisticated culture. In fact, the Rambam says that Aristotle, who was the Greek philosopher, came via his brilliance to the utmost that human logic can come. But logic can see only the superficial level of creation. It can analyze what we grasp via our senses, and it's limited to the capacity of our brains. So, if you base your life just on this, just on what you can understand and see, your life is very limited. In other words, you live in darkness. They conquered the whole world. The whole world at the time was a world of idol worshippers. So in comparison to idol worshipping, the Greeks were very enlightened. And every place that they came to really accepted them with two open hands and adapted their culture very, very happily. Till they came to the small little place that is hardly seen on the map called Yehuda. And over there, they face resistance. Somebody tells them, oh, what you see is total darkness. You cannot sell us anything because your vision is limited. Obviously, it was a very big blow for the Greeks. And it became essential for them to put us into the same darkness. So we won't challenge them and tell them, yeah, compared to other nations, you have a lot, but you are really in deep darkness. So they wanted to uproot us from the connection to whatever is above the physical. And that's why they didn't took us physically into an exile. This would not solve the problem. They chose the things that really are those main things to connect us to Hashem and to the what is above the physical and prohibited us from doing them. Shabbat, Milah, Rosh Chodesh, the things that make us a nation that is different than all other nations. This they changed, wanted to change. And there were people who were blurred by the false light among the Jewish people and really followed. And it was a dark time for the Jewish people. But interestingly enough, what came out of it? What came out of it is a holiday of light. And not simple light, but a Hanukkah that is put very low, meaning a light that comes to the lowest of places, and a light that shines to the outside world as well, and makes famous the fact that this reality is not just a physical reality, that's the external manifestation of godliness. And Hanukkah is the time when we recognize that all of creation, the physical and the spiritual, are a miracle. And we celebrate it by lighting a menorah because of it. So what's the concept of Hanukkah, which is the concept of creation, which is the concept of history, of nature? It's creating light out of darkness. The angels are in ongoing light, but that's not the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to create light out of darkness. Our sages say, commentaries explain, that the light of the menorah is the light that Hashem separated for the righteous on the first day of creation. In the story of creation, it's written that after Hashem created light, he saw that it was good, and he divided it. He divided it between light and darkness. On the physical level, we don't understand it. What does it mean to divide between light and darkness? Light is a substance. Darkness is the absence of light. You cannot divide between light and the absence of light. Darkness is not a substance. On the spiritual level, we understand it very well. Godliness is endless. The light of Hashem is endless. But Hashem did not put all his light in this world, because this would take away free choice. If he would have seen a soul instead of a human being, and the godliness that gives life to trees, to rocks, to everything, we wouldn't have a choice but to follow the word of Hashem. We would feel the sweetness of it. Nobody would be able to separate us from it. But Hashem wants us not to see, partially, right? And to create it on our own. That's the purpose. So part of the light, part of the godliness is hidden. For whom? For the righteous in the world to come. It ועושין אין דבית המקדש ודה מנורה ווזלית. We are told that this light can be seen and felt, everyone according to his level, by looking at the lights of the Hanukkah. Meaning, in other words, looking at the Hanukkah has in it the power to open up our eyes to see godliness more than what we see now, everyone according to his level. And that's why we say, Ela lirotam bilvad. We cannot use the light. It's not a light that was given in order that I'll use it for my daily activities to light up the room so I don't need electricity. It's given as an opening to see what we need to put effort in order to see. On Hanukkah, even people who are on the lowest level, even people who are really outside, have a connection to the higher light. And it's not by an accident that even very secular people are connected to Hanukkah in one way or another. They light a Hanukkah. They might not understand what they are doing. They might interpret it in a different way. But from all the holidays, Hanukkah and Pesach are those that even people who are removed from Judaism have some connection to. Because then the light is easier to be connected to. And that's our call on Hanukkah. Okay, I'll finish here and open for questions.
Before I open up for questions, or before we open up for questions, I want to make an announcement. The class is Li'uli Nishmas Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha Bas David Mordechai. Also, a reminder, there is a class tomorrow morning at 9:30. And if you give me a minute, I will allow people to open up. You should be able to unmute yourselves.
Hi, Hi, Robertson. I had a question. Is it okay to ask? We're not able to hear you, Robertson.
Yeah, unmute yourselves. Mrs. Cohn, you're muted.
I don't even see her.
One second.
Okay. Do you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much. I just wanted to ask for a perspective. I don't quite know how to formulate the question. It seems to me that there are two types of darkness, that sometimes somebody is a victim of somebody else, and sometimes a person is the cause of their own, sometimes somebody is the cause of their own misery because of their own poor decision-making, either immaturity or they should have known better. And I wanted to ask, in Hashem's purview, is there a difference between the two? That's question one.
Okay, very good question, nice question. Okay. There are things that are predetermined, that we are born with, or that happen to us without our involvement at all. Like what character traits will have, which family we are born to, at what time, and what will take place in our life, some of the things not up to us. So let's say, I'll take an example, if somebody is abused by somebody else, when he's a kid, obviously he doesn't have control. This is predetermined. Why? We don't know. But it's a darkness that he has to work through in his lifetime, maybe only when he'll be an adult. Why does he have to go through it? We don't know. That's the wisdom of Hashem. But we believe, should believe, sometimes it's very hard, but we have to work on it, that every darkness has a purpose, if we see it or not. We do the best what we can under the circumstances. Now, darkness that we bring upon ourselves, we have to divide between things that we bring upon ourselves, but we did the best we could, and we were limited. Let's say we did make decisions when we were young and not developed enough to make the right decision. So that's the will of Hashem. Spiritual darkness that we bring upon ourselves is up to us, and that's where our work is taking place. Any situation, we can work to grow via it, or, you know, to be discouraged and have complaints and whatever will be, right? This is in our hands. And of course, We cannot say it is a general rule to know why and what an individual can accomplish and what not only Hashem knows. And he judges him accordingly. If an individual is incapable at a certain point to get out of the situation, he's not judged for it. But if he's capable of, he's demanded to do whatever he can.
I hear you.
Excuse me,
Esther,
one second.
will you send a link to the shared for tomorrow?
I sent it already. It's in the same email. Sorry, one second. It's in the same email that I sent you about this class. It's in the weekly email.
Whoops, sorry. The other part of the question, you spoke about opportunities for light, and I wanted to say that sometimes we don't have the awarenesses until very late in life about what the emes is, and there are some people who seem to get it very early on, and they're able to comport themselves at a high level of spirituality. And some of us, as we know better, we do better, but sometimes it can take decades and decades. And I wanted to ask if you can comment a little on that. Thank you so
Yeah,
much.
sure. If we were, if we did not have, a, or if we, let's say so, if we have opportunities at the times that we cannot take advantage of them, right? So it's not considered an opportunity for us.
Wow.
It's an
Wow.
objective opportunity, but it's not an opportunity for us because we could have not taken advantage of it. We are judged only from the point where we are capable of doing the right thing
Wow.
and only for what we can do.
Wow. Nicham Tani, thank you. It's a beautiful. Thank you so much.
What means that when Hashem judges us, he doesn't look at the ultimate level that we achieved. If a person grew up with the best of life conditions, character traits, education, and is on a nice level, but he didn't put much effort, he will be in the world to come in a lower place than somebody who started from a very low point, is much, much lower than him objectively, but put more effort.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Rabbi Tzion, I have a question.
Go
The
ahead.
you said the darkness will end, has an end date after the 6,000 years. Just a short while ago, I was talking to a non-Jewish friend, and I couldn't really say what was this 6,000 years deadline. Can you, as quickly as you can,
Yeah, it's very
explain?
simple.
Go ahead.
We are in Tafshin Pei Hei, 5785. So we
Right.
have 215 more years.
Correct. Where does this end time of 6,000 years stems from? That I have no, I couldn't, I don't know.
Okay. You can show the Ramban commentary on the 6 days of creation. Every millennia corresponds to one day of creation, and
Okay.
he describes how they correspond to each other and what will, and whoever knows how to learn Torah, not on my level, of course, but on the level of the Ramban, for example, can tell you what will happen in every millennia at each part of it based on it.
Oh, I didn't know that each day of creation corresponded to 1,000 years. And there's another thing that you hint that you mentioned, the that I feel that is very close to me since I've been away from my parents so many years. You hint you mentioned that Yaakov felt that these 22 years he didn't have the opportunity to honor his parents. I feel very, very, I feel it in my soul, in me, this lack of opportunities. But then you said then he was, not punished. Then 22 years of darkness after Yosef was taken away from him. So I don't know if Hashem will treat me like that,
I
but
don't
there's.
think so. I don't think so. Not minimizing your level. I'm saying it about myself and most people, right? Because it's not a sin. You may be away from your parents, and obviously you did it for good reasons, right? Hopefully, right? And
Hopefully.
right
Yeah, I believe,
about
right?
everything we have to say, hopefully, every decision that we make, right? But it's allowed to be done, right? It's not a sin, and only very, very high people are judged for things like this. What we can do is, while we are away from them, to pray for them, even after 120, for the elevation of their soul, to give charity for the sake of their soul, can always do.
Always do. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
Anybody
you.
else? Sure.
Gives me a bit, some chizuk. I
Yeah.
mean, doesn't take away the pain one feels.
Sure. And this by itself is an accomplishment because it indicates that it's important to you. And
Course.
the pain that you feel over it is
Right.
accomplishing.
Yeah. You
Right?
don't feel that Hanukkah being so prominent even in our society has something to do with the fact that it's like around Xmas and all that, and it's like
There is some
a
of it, but it's much more than this.
much more.
Because
I
Xmas is America, but not the whole world, right? In such a way.
Western world, the
Not in
Western world.
such a way. Not in such a way. And it's also the generations that even people who were away still had some connection to Hanukkah and Pesach. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Did you mention
Thank you,
that
Mark.
the Greeks did not do Avodah Zarah? They had so many Greek gods.
Again, what did you say?
You say the Greeks were superior to the other nations because the other nations were involved in Avodah Zarah. But the Greeks were very, very involved with Avodah Zarah.
Yes, but they were in different ways, right? They spoke about refinement of character traits and many other things, and they were great in philosophy,
Oh, yes.
right? So it's a point further.
And also when we count days in Judaism, we start from the night and go into the day. So is
Right,
that the same thing with
exactly.
darkness and light
Yes,
concept?
it's the same idea.
Thank you
Wow.
so much. I'm afraid of Hanukkah.
Yeah, to you
Can I
too.
ask a question?
Yeah.
How is it if you're saying that there are 215 years left, then and you're saying in case when this scholars we don't know when it will end, that's sort of like a stira saying that there is a number, but at the same time we're being told that we don't know when it will end.
Okay, because we can bring Mashiach every day, any day. There are two times that were given to the coming of Mashiach. It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Beita and Achishena. There is a date that it cannot be further than this. That's the end of 6,000 years. But we can hurry it up, and it could be any day. So we don't know for how long it will be. We'll see. We hope it will be before the 6,000 years because it will be a much easier process if we hurry it up. It means it came more in our merit rather than in, just because the time came.
But there is a case for sure at 6,000. I mean, at that time.
Yeah. I want to add something to it, okay? It's a famous anecdote that somebody who was in the Enlightenment movement, right, made fun of the 6,000 years, right, of the existence, and then Mashiach must come. And he asked the Brisker Rov, the Rov of Brisk, what will you do if you the end of the 6,000 years comes, the last day is over, and Mashiach is not here yet. What will you do? He said, I'll take my talit and tefillin and I'll go to Daven. Meaning, in other words, yes, it's supposed to be 6,000 years. The exile of Babel was supposed to end after 70 years. How do you calculate it exactly? From when? Whatever.
Right.
This was the mistake that was done in the exile of Babel. But eventually, we knew exactly when it was, and we came back. The same Chet HaEgel. Moshe said, I'll come at this and this time. We made a mistake in the calculation, and we made the Egel, right? The whole difference was 6 hours, but we didn't know about it, right? We made a mistake. So we trust Hashem. He will come. That's the main point. If it will be in my lifetime, if it won't be in my lifetime, we are now in a time where we have to create light out of darkness. That's what it means. Whenever Mashiach will come, the resurrection of the dead will take place. Everybody will come back to life and will enjoy the light that we created, if Mashiach came in our time or not. And we hope it
Thank
comes
you.
in our time.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Have a happy
Amen.
Hanukkah.
Happy
And I'll
Hanukkah.
see you tomorrow, Im Yirtzeh Hashem.
Thank you, Rebbe Tzvi. Thank you.
Thank you
Hanukkah
so
Sameach.
much. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.